Matthew chapter number 9 for the reading of God's word this morning. Matthew chapter number 9. I want to preach today with God's help, and I don't think I'll ever be able to get done in one service, but maybe between the two services I can get finished. I want to preach today on the case for compassion. The case for compassion. If you'll stand with me in reverence to God's word, if you're able, in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35 is where we'll begin reading. It is a very familiar text. The Bible said, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes," the word of God said, "he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to stand in this place and read this precious old book. God, we pray today that you'd make your presence very real, very known in our midst. Lord, I pray that your presence would be so real that someone, Lord, this day would want to put their trust in you. That someone, Lord, today that's discouraged would leave encouraged. That someone, our Father, today would understand and know that no one ever cared for us like Jesus. I pray now, Father, today that you'll speak to our hearts and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you once again for being here today at Bible Way. We're still kind of battling a little bit, but in our physical being, but God is helping us to get a little stronger each day, and I appreciate your prayers. The case for compassion. Jesus, we use the word compassion, and sometimes we kind of use it lightly, but the word of God, this Greek word that is being given us, the definition for compassion, is to have the bowels yearn. This is something that it's much deeper than just words like "I love you." But Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, something went on the inside of him. And it means to feel sympathy, to feel pity, to have or to be moved with compassion. I was thinking that as God spoke to my heart about the message and I began to study, I was thinking that I believe that there's a whole lot going on. Brother Steve put that up on the verse up there. We shouldn't marvel that the world would hate us. But I tell you what I believe the underlying motive of all of that is. It's to cause us to love one another less. To cause us to love our Savior less. And to definitely cause us to love the sinner less. Even in the comments that Brother Steve made, and he's right, in compassion we should be reaching out to those that have maybe gone missing, amen, since this pandemic. And if we would be honest this morning, let me just say it like this, if I would be honest, and I will, my attitude at times is not right. In other words, beloved, I have the attitude, what's wrong with people? You know, you say you're saved, you say you love God, and sometimes my attitude is filled with everything but compassion. Would somebody help me right there? And it's a battle. It's a battle that we face. But Jesus was moved with compassion. A couple of things. I'm just trying to introduce the message because I believe God's going to have us look at five different things today. as we go through the Gospels, we look through the Gospels, we're going to find this mentioned 14 different times in the Gospel, the word compassion, and we'll share some things with you about that in a moment. But I wondered in my mind, and this has happened more recently in my ministry, more and more, I wondered where the first time compassion was mentioned in the Bible, and I really didn't know. Does anyone here this morning know where it was mentioned the first time? I thought this was interesting. It was mentioned in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 6, and it had to do with Moses. The Word of God said, and when she opened it, this was talking about the daughter of Pharaoh, the basket, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And I thought, with what's going on in our generation, isn't that something? Amen. That the first time the Word of God would use the word compassion would have to do with a baby. And the Bible said, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Wouldn't it be something, beloved, if somebody like the daughter of Pharaoh would have more compassion than you and I as the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ? Say amen. If she was able to show compassion on Moses, certainly you and I should be able to show compassion on one another. Just a couple of verses by way of introduction. The Bible said in Psalm 78 and verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity, and he destroyed them not. Many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. You say, Pastor, when you mention the first mention there and you talk about Moses, do you understand that Moses was born under the sentence of death? If you'll read your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible said that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we were dead in trespasses and sin according to the book of Ephesians. But aren't you glad that somebody come along, amen, was willing to show compassion? Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, how many understands this morning that the multitudes was just like this congregation? They had their faults. Amen. But he was willing to look beyond their faults, and he saw their need. He knew what they needed was a Savior. He knew what they needed. And listen, everybody needs this. Everybody needs somebody to love them. Everybody needs somebody to show compassion on them. And I'm glad we have a Savior that's full of compassion. When I read that last night, that verse of Scripture, the first thing that came to my mind, well, if I'm going to be full of God, then I would have to be full of compassion. Say amen. That ought to be our desire as the children of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God and be full of the compassion, that love in action, beloved, and have our bowels to yearn for others along life's way. In Psalm 86:15, but thou art Lord, O Lord, O God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You say, Pastor, this world's full of sin. Can I tell you this? God's got enough mercy, and God's got enough truth, and God's got enough grace, and God's got enough compassion. Amen. To forgive whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. In Psalms chapter 111, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious. And here's the phrase again, full of compassion. You know what we need? We need some pastors full of compassion. We need some daddies full of compassion. We need some mamas full of compassion. We need some soul winners full of compassion. We need some evangelists full of compassion. We need, beloved, listen to me. You might not like what I'm going to say, but it's true. We need some leaders in our country that are full of compassion. Amen. And that can look at the multitudes and be full of compassion. The Bible said in Psalm 112 and verse number 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. The Lord is gracious. Psalm 145 and verse 8, and full of compassion. I believe, listen, Years ago, I heard a preacher say this. He said, there's three books in the Bible that we ought to frequent. He said, one is the book of Proverbs. It will provide for us wisdom. He said, the second is the book of Psalm. It'll keep our hearts sweet. I'm telling you, it's a full-time job in this generation we live in to keep our hearts sweet and to keep our heart full of God and full of compassion on those that we encounter. And he said, the third is the book of Acts. That'll keep us reminded of what the New Testament church is supposed to be. Amen. Listen, in the New Testament church, they were persecuted. You say, why? I tell you why. Because, beloved, they didn't like what was happening. People were being reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That lame man, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they found him leaping in the temple, amen, and celebrating his forgiveness and celebrating, beloved, that life that God had given him. The case for compassion. In Lamentations, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You want to know why I'm still here? You want to know why I've not been consumed? Because his compassions fail not. They're new, the Word of God said, every morning. Amen. And you and I need to be renewed as well. The Bible said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. I believe when Jesus looked at that crowd that day, he was looking at a lot of people, beloved, listen, that didn't have any hope. But they had heard some things. They had heard, beloved, if you turn back in your Bible, they had heard about a daughter. I use the word baby in the margin of my Bible for the sake of alliteration. They heard about a Jairus' daughter, amen. They heard about that baby that needed to be raised, and Jesus healed her. They heard about the blood, that woman with that issue of blood. They heard about the blindness. And, beloved, I believe in that multitude, when Jesus looked at them, he understood that they were without hope, but they had been hearing some things. They had been seeing some things. They had heard about old Beelzebub, that one that was possessed of the devil, was dumb and could not speak. They heard about a Savior that had come along, beloved, and could do something about their condition. And I believe that hope began to boil up in them and began to well up in them. And Jesus had compassion on them, because he said, the Word of God said, they were as a sheep. Having no shepherd, they needed someone to lead them, amen, and they needed someone to feed them. Think about this. I'll move on and get into the message. I'm trying to get out of the introduction, the case for compassion. A certain medieval monk, he announced that he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. As the shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered. In the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle, and he carried it to the crucifix. First of all, he illuminated the crown of thorns. Next, the two wounded hands. And then the marks of the spear wound in the wound. In the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and left the chancel. There was nothing more to say. In other words, beloved, you want to see God's compassion? Look at Calvary. You want to see the love of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Beloved, he's not just talked about being wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he's being stripped of his clothes, and he's hanging on an old rugged cross. And that is where the Lord, beloved, lets us know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the case, beloved, for compassion? In the text that I've read to you today, the Word of God said here in Matthew chapter number 9 that Jesus saw the multitude. 6 of the 14 times that the word compassion is used in the Gospels. Think about this, beloved, it has to do with first seeing something. I wonder, beloved, listen, I wonder if everything going on around us isn't trying to keep us from seeing what we really need to see. I'm telling you, beloved, there are people that need the Lord. And there are people, beloved, that need some hope. I personally believe that when you can take a gun and abuse people, abuse the crowds, and take a vehicle and run over people, beloved, and I believe there's an emptiness. I believe, beloved, there's somebody that lacks leadership in their life. There's somebody, beloved, that doesn't have any hope. And some people, if they don't have any hope, beloved, they don't know how to react to that. But Jesus came to give us hope. The Word of God is teaching us here, in the absence of the shepherd, people are fainting, amen? They're falling out by the wayside. Jesus said here, that he came preaching the gospel. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe that people are fainting today. People were fainting in Jesus' day. They didn't have the strength to go on. And beloved, listen, I don't think this thing's going to get better as we get in towards the coming of the Lord. I believe it's going to get worse. I believe more are going to fall by the wayside. But you and I, beloved, ought to be looking for that one. When Jesus saw the multitude, you need to back up in that scripture and understand that he saw the one daughter. He saw the one with the issue of blood. He saw the one that was blind. He saw the one that had a devil. Listen, Jesus saves people and helps people one at a time. Even though he's seeing a multitude that needs help, people get help one person at a time. He saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion. There was the absence of the shepherd. And beloved, they were fainting left and right. This goes on in the Gospels. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. In Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him. And he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. In Mark 6:34, Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. I believe, beloved, listen, our Lord, he said, I have compassion on the multitude in Mark 8:2 because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If you'll go with me to John chapter 4 for just a moment. I believe, listen, if I were to ask this question this morning, how many in this congregation have a desire to be more like Jesus? Would you raise your hand if you have a desire to be more like Jesus? Then we're going to have to get our eyes open, amen? We're going to have to see, beloved, listen, we're going to have to understand, and we're going to have to let what we see move us. Beloved, listen, move us with compassion. The Word of God, if you'll look at it with me in John chapter number 4 for just a moment. In John chapter 4, something wonderful had happened. There was a woman. Jesus told her to go call her husband. She said, I have no husband, Lord. He said, you've spoken truly. He said, you've had five, and the one you've got now is not your own. Amen. And you say, Pastor, what in the world was going on in John chapter 4? I'll tell you what was going on. Jesus was having compassion on a woman. I remember reminded of what Brother Danny Sykes said. He said, when I met the Lord, I was good at sinning, but he was better at saving than I was at sinning. Amen. This woman was good at sinning, but she met a Savior, beloved, and she said, come, see a man that told me all things ever I did. It's not this the Christ. Watch what the Word of God said now. And Jesus said in verse 34 of John 4, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. These are the ones that walked with Jesus. These are the ones that saw him do the miracles. And yet they were having problems seeing, beloved, what needed to be seen in that day. Amen. And he said, lift up your eyes. He said, look on the harvest. He said, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that where you bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and you are entered into their labors. And the word of God said, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Beloved friend, Jesus is still in our day having compassion on those, beloved, that will look to him. The Bible said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. People are fainting, and you and I need to understand, beloved, listen, I told my wife the other day, you turn the news on, even the local news, and they want to make much out of those 30 or 40 or 50 people that's got them a sign protesting. I'm telling you what's the truth. I've never seen anything like it in my day. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing people that are empty. I'm seeing people, beloved, listen, that they have no cause in life. Amen. They think they have a cause, and they think they've joined a cause. But I want you to know, beloved, our Savior, I said this the other day, and it's true. He loves every one of them. He died for every one of them. And I believe, beloved, if they've not crossed that line with God, then I believe, beloved, listen, that God can save them, and he wants to save them and turn them around, amen, and help them to understand that there's a reason to live, and there's a reason for that baby to live. 6 out of the 14 times somebody first saw something, Jesus said, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white, all ready to harvest. I see tonight that this morning people are fainting. The second thing I see in the message is there's a problem with forgiveness. When you're dealing with compassion, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 18, please. Matthew chapter number 18. And I'm going to close with this thought today. And let this be the final thought for this morning, this forgiveness. People are fainting, but there's also a problem with forgiveness where compassion, the case for compassion is needed. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 27. Well, let me start reading in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. If you do the math, that's 490. That would get some of God's people aiming for 489 as quick as they could get there. Say amen. That's right. It's sad, but it's true. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commandeth him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him. Lord, he said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the word of God said in verse number 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave his debt. I want you and I to know, beloved, listen, what we owed was not just money. What you and I owed was a sin debt. What you and I owed, beloved, was going to end us up in the region of the damned in an awful place called hell. But Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe because we had a debt that we could not pay. Notice what the word of God said. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That night in February in 1987, I realized all of a sudden, like under the Spirit of God's conviction, that I had a debt, that I could not pay the debt. But thank God I realized in that moment of time, the Holy Spirit let me understand somebody had compassion. Somebody loved me. Somebody took my place. Somebody paid the debt for me. And that somebody was Jesus. And that same servant went out
And he found one of his fellow servants in verse number 28, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. The Bible said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You say, Pastor, the case for compassion, it's in that people are fainting, but it also the case is in that problem with forgiveness. Listen to me, this will help you. You say, Pastor, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. No, but I know this. You and I, we owed a sin debt. We were on our way to hell without God. I do know this, beloved. There was someone that looked beyond my faults that night, and he saw my need. What I needed was not a stripe. What I needed was a Savior. What I needed, beloved, listen, was a forgiveness. What I needed, beloved, was to be forgiven. And this, if I could wrap this up in a sentence or two, it's as if God is saying, I have forgiven you, Brother Vinoy, of all of your sin debt. I've written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've given you a place called heaven, and you're headed that way. I've given you the Holy Ghost to dwell in you until the day of redemption. I've filled you with the Spirit of God. And God would say, how dare you, being forgiven of the God of heaven, refuse to forgive someone else for what they've done to you? How dare you? And yet, beloved, there are people that name the name of Christ. They're carrying things in their heart they got no business carrying in their heart. Beloved, the case for compassion is this. He had compassion on me. I need to have compassion on others. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if you and I, instead of, I know some of you preachers have experienced this. You've been maybe going somewhere with the preacher, standing around somewhere, maybe even in a place of business, and somebody comes in and they're not dressed right. They're showing their body, and they're immodest, amen. And I've heard comments like, would you look at that? There ain't no sense in that, things of that nature. I wish they'd put some clothes on. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I don't know what it is with me. It's true, beloved, that we ought to be modest. It's true that we ought to cover our bodies up. But I've always been able to look beyond that. I've always known, beloved, that the problem is not what you're seeing on the outside. The problem's what's on the inside. And there's no criticism going to fix what's on the inside. It's going to take compassion, not criticism, to fix what's on the inside. It's going to take somebody to love them. When I was a teenager, my hair was down on my shoulders. But it didn't keep my grandpa from loving me. He hated long hair on a man. He didn't just not like it, he hated it. But beloved, when I heard him preach, he didn't preach against it. He just kept loving on me. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. When I got saved, he showed me where he prayed for me. He said, son, I've prayed for years that God would call one of my boys to preach. And he never did, but he got my grandson. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe he would have got me without compassion. Say amen. Would have run me off, amen. Oh, beloved friend, people are fainting. And there's a problem with forgiveness. We need compassion. We need to ask God this morning, Lord, fill me up. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Lord, there's a world. You say, Pastor, it's getting darker by the day. Well, then it ought to be a little bit easier to let our light shine. Amen. Y'all will get to, this is plumb sideways here. But I got to tell you, it's funny. And we'll close. Last night, right before dark, I wanted to try out this arrow on a crossbow that had a knock on it that lighted up, Brother Steve. When you shot it, you can see it going to the target. And then the ideal is you can find it, even if it's over there in the woods somewhere, whatever, you can find it. Well, I didn't have chance to scope on the crossbow set right. I had it a full revolution too much up. So when I squeezed the trigger, and I was only shooting 85 yards, but when I squeezed the trigger on that crossbow, it went through that pine tree way above that target. And I thought, well, that ain't no problem. That thing's got that lighted knock on it. I'll just go over there and find it. Amen. And I went over there, and I was so proud of myself. I said, there it is. Like that. There it is. No, that arrow ain't moving. It was lightning bugs. There it is. It just wasn't working out, amen, at all. And I never did find it. I never did find it. But you know what I believe? I believe God has given us a light. It's so much stronger, Brother Don, than a lightning bug.
Yeah.
Or the knock on the back of an arrow.
Amen.
The light is Jesus.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, He lives in your heart.
Yeah.
The Bible said, let your light so shine Amen. Before men Amen. That men would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, wouldn't it be something if all of God's people that are gathered at Bible Way this morning would leave this church house and say, God, I want to be a lightning bug for Jesus this week. That the world that's fainting, the world, many even of God's people that's having a problem with forgiveness, will be able to say, there He is. There He is. There He is. A Savior. I believe it's important in these days, beloved, that we understand. Jesus saw the multitudes. I'll never forget years ago, I was headed to Israel. We had to do a layover in New York. Brother Don, I was on the bus with Brother Winston Sweeney and Brother Joe Bird. I'd never met either one of them until that trip. And I don't know how well you knew those men, but in my heart, they were two of the finest men I ever met in my life. And they were very knowledgeable. They were very kind. They actually, I believe, were full of compassion. We went through New York, and honestly, it broke my heart. I'm telling you, the multitudes of people. Multitudes of people. You could look at people's faces. We took a bus tour through New York. I'm glad they didn't let us out even then. Amen. In New York. But beloved, listen. They're not only cities, but right here in Bristol, right here in Kingsport, right here in Johnson City, even though the cities are not as large, people need the Lord. People need somebody to have compassion. You're the only Jesus that some people are ever going to meet. You're the only Jesus. I've got something I want Brother Richard to do for me, and we'll give the invitation in just a moment. I want you to see this. Brother Rusty, if you'll dim the lights back in the auditorium, we might dim some lights up here. I want you to see it because I want you to see the lyrics. Sometimes we don't always hear exactly what's going on in the song. But I looked at this again last night, and I sat there and I wept. There was a time in my life when I believe God's compassion, Brother Steve, was more active in my life than it is right now. I want that back. Amen. I want to be sensitive to Him. Go ahead, Brother. Dim these a little bit too, Brother Richard. Let me know if you can hear it.
Every day they pass me by.
Every day.
I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled.
How many remembers when you were empty? Had no purpose in life.
On they go through private pain, living fear, laughter hides their silent cry, only
Jesus. I may please that this morning.
The world where wrong seems right, what could be too great a cost for sharing life with one we've lost? Through His love our hearts can feel all the grief.
We get numb to that sometimes, don't we?
go to a ball game. Never even think about maybe giving somebody a tract or inviting them to church. People committing suicide every day because they don't have any hope. I believe God wants to help us this morning, don't you? Some of our young people fixing to go back to church, back to school, back to college. The greatest need that people have in this world is the Lord. Let's bow for prayer.